Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of How We Wrote the Book. I'm Elizabeth Uvebenene.
And I'm Yomi Adegake.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking about dealing with publishers. So let's say that you've kind of, you know, our previous episode was all about getting a ball rolling, getting an agent. So you've got your agent now and you are working on the proposal together, and your agent has then sent it off to, you know, various different publishing houses, and you're essentially in a kind of like waiting game. So this episode is going to be about dealing with publishers and different type of publishing houses. So Yomi, what are the different types of publishing houses and why it's important to pick the right one? It's probably best to ask, how do we choose? That's probably be easier. How do we choose?
Because yeah,
we were lucky. No. We had like, so we had 10 publishers that were really interested in what we were doing. And because me and Yomi, you know, we had full-time jobs, we couldn't go to like so many of these publishing houses. So our agent essentially said, before you kind of meet the girls, before you meet these girls, make a bid to show that you're kind of, you know, you're serious, essentially. So they did, and we were kind of, you know, in that kind of space of trying to work out where to go, sort of thing. Yomi, before we had 10 different publishers interested, how did we essentially kind of navigate that? What types of publishing houses are there, and why is it important to pick the right one?
Very good question. So I think, you know, again, like when we first were kind of having the conversation between us, we're very much novices, and we're having to kind of like feel our way through it and work out, you know, ask this question ourselves, like, how do we decide between these, you know, initially 10, but then one of them, you know, we decided before we even sort of had the conversation about where we were going to go, their offer was too low. So our agent decided we should walk away from that one. So when it was those 9, we were having to ask ourselves, how do we actually, what differentiates them? Do you know what I mean? We didn't know anything about publishing. So it was very difficult off the bat to just be able to say, this is, you know, better than this. So that's why I guess the meetings were so important. I don't think either of us really did much research into the 9 before we sort of went in to sit down with everybody. But yeah, it was kind of like really like speed dating almost. Like, you know, some of the publishing houses like had imprints that were all in the same building, because it was like, you know, you have like HarperCollins and there's various different imprints of HarperCollins. And, you know, same with like publishers like Little Brown, and they have all these little different imprints. So we'd sometimes go into like one day of meetings, and we'd sort of be like, you know, getting an elevator from one floor to another floor to go to like a different publishing house, and really they'd sort of sit us around the table and like, you know, sell themselves to us and sell what, you know, why they could make this book a success. And I guess you know, there were loads of factors in terms of like what made us decide to go with like our amazing publishing house that published Stay in Your Lane, Fourth Estate. Something that Elizabeth really early on picked up on was, it sounds like a really small thing, but going into meetings and seeing who they would bring to the meeting and how many members of the team they brought to the meeting. It may in part have been because of Elizabeth's like corporate background, and that she was very quickly able to sort of just know that, you know, okay, if they've brought in the big guns for this meeting, or they've brought in like several members of the team, it's because they're serious. And that was something that I think was actually very right looking back. Out of the meetings that we attended, the ones that tended to bring like a lot of the team and like the biggest sort of people in the team to those meetings, it was very much a sign off the bat that they were very interested in really acquiring this book, and not only acquiring the book, but also, because acquiring the book is one thing, but also acquiring it and making sure that they were going to give it that visibility, that marketing, and that push that would ensure that, again, it wasn't a book that just came and went, essentially. Also, obviously, another big factor was money. You know, that was kind of something that we used to, you know, whatever they were offering us, that was something that definitely helped us initially with making the decisions, because often there'd be, you know, discrepancies of like very big amounts, essentially, that meant that, you know, just on a logic basis, that it was, you know, that that would count certain publishing houses out. And, you know, obviously, if they're not necessarily willing or able to put up a certain amount of money, then again, like, it's not just about how much we'll be able to walk away with, but also if money, books that publishers tend to invest a lot of money in, obviously they're then likely to, you know, they have to make that money back. So again, it kind of is like insurance in terms of making sure they're going to really push in terms of making that book sell. Another thing, I guess, that really, you know, because at there was a point where a lot of the, I think maybe about four of the publishing houses were at least offering like very similar amounts. And we got to a final two that offered the exact same amount. And I think that's when it really became a decision of the heart and really just looking at the kind of book we were doing, which was so specific, so niche, spoke to such a specific demographic. So what I think really kind of like sold us on Fourth Estate was the fact that, you know, we were very, very clear and frank about the fact that we were the experts in this situation because we were speaking to a particular demographic that pretty much we knew perfectly and they didn't necessarily. And we had very sort of clear ideas and a very clear vision of how we perceived this book being and what our expectations and hopes were for the book, making sure that, you know, it was considered commercial, it was seen as mainstream, despite the fact that we were going to speak to Black women. It was going to be for Black women in a way that was unapologetic. And we had sort of inalienable ideas of how we wanted it to be and ideas that we felt needed to be seen through very passionately. And I think the fact that Fourth Estate were so willing and open to our ideas and made it very clear that we'd be taking the reins was something that very much kind of swung it and made it like, this is definitely who we're happy to sort of go with. And of course, there's a gut feeling. Me and Elizabeth walked away from the meeting, both completely sold. But yeah, I think just knowing that they trusted us and they trusted our vision, but they were also going to lend their expertise was a really sort of important thing.
Yeah, I think that, as Yomi said, you have to kind of go with your gut a lot of the time when it comes to the publishing industry and then kind of putting your work out there, because you're trusting someone to essentially kind of realize your vision together. So I think that like any good relationship, it should just feel like a partnership. You know, you should just feel like you're in it together. And so, yeah, I think that it's really important to kind of make sure that you go with your gut and you have that kind of ultimate understanding of what you're both trying to achieve.
Okay, so when it comes to money, obviously with us, we had like two publishers that were making that made the same sort of offer towards the end, and then we were able to then go with the publisher that we, you know, essentially preferred and we felt was going to see our vision through better. It's not always like that though. So in terms of sort of negotiating costs and money, that money element from publishers, how do you kind of know when you're striking the right deal?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because this is where picking the right agent comes in. And like Yomi said, what your publisher puts behind, gives you as like an advance, different to what they then put behind a book. So your agent does the kind of, you know, or the, when it comes to the money, your agent kind of does the kind of front facing stuff, or even when it comes to the main relationship, up until you strike a deal with a particular publisher, your agent kind of does all of those types of things. And they have, you know, very standard kind of rates on what kind of royalties and things look like. And you can always negotiate and always sense check it with an external network. But I think that's where having an agent that you trust, an agent that has a track record of, you know, of working on particular books and doing well in a particular sector. So some agents are very good with fiction, and that's where they kind of like are, that's where they really, you know, essentially come alive. And if you've got a fiction book, and you know, every book is different, so just because someone else has gotten this doesn't mean you also get this. But then, you know, there's a thin line between that and then not shortchanging yourself. So I think it's definitely a relationship that you, something that you should speak openly about with your agent before she sends out, you know, or he sends out it to the publishers. You should have that kind of understanding of like, okay, what are your expectations? And be high with your expectation as well. You shouldn't kind of like dim your light and or try and be humble. You should, because then say your best case scenario and what you would want from it. Because for everybody, publishing a book means different things to people. So it doesn't just come down to the advance. And when it comes to the advance, I would definitely say do not leave your job if you've got a job. Like if you're on a 9-to-5 and you know you're thinking, even if you've got a really good advance that's coming, that is split usually in across 4 payments. So once you sign, and then you know once the book is delivered, so once you finish writing it, you've sent and they're happy with it, then the paperback, once it's that's released, and then the hardback. So even if you've got a really decent advance, I wouldn't say put all your eggs in one basket at all. Maybe we can talk about, you know, how you can essentially have a life as an author on another episode. But when it comes to the deal, I wouldn't say that, you know, you sign a really good deal and then you kind of like, you know, leave your job and essentially just kind of think that you get all that money at the exact same time. It's definitely a kind of staggered approach. And I think that conversation that you have with your agent is super important. Just making sure that you guys are on the same page, because you don't want them kind of negotiating something that you're and kind of accepting anything on your behalf. And good agents will never do that anyway. Good agents, like I said, will be a partnership and you guys will always have that kind of understanding. When it comes to royalties and things like that, it's just best to always do your own research, because you know, someone else's deal will be different to someone else's deal, like, you know, advances. Most royalties and things like that, when it comes to, you know, contract, they tend to be standard, standard practice across different publishing houses or around similar books. So there's always room for negotiation, but they tend to, from our experience anyway, they tend to be quite standard. But doesn't mean, you know, the publishing industry is changing a lot. And just because something is standard doesn't mean you cannot ever ask questions or interrogate, or not interrogate in a bad way, but you can't, you know, kind of interrogate numbers around why is that? Why is that decimal place there? Why is that discount there? It's always best as a first time author to ask these questions.
And yeah, just following on from what Elizabeth said, like it's completely true. Like it should feel like a collaboration, and you know, just because somebody gets one type of deal doesn't mean that you necessarily will get the same. It doesn't always come down to, you know, you being sort of shortchanged because of that, because you know, unfortunately, things such as like pre-existing profile before a book deal's given, and you know, like, you know, publishing is based on sort of risk and like projection, so they have to kind of try and guess how much your books, you know, how much you're going to sell, essentially. As we've seen with the publishing paid me hashtag, sometimes their projections for minority authors lead to underpayment, which is obviously racist and not okay. But it's just worth noting that there are other factors as well in terms of, and as well, like as we kind of spoke about in that episode about the publishing paid me hashtag, often, you know, we have to kind of also look at readers, because those projections often come from what they think, how they think readers will act based on other books. And if readers aren't putting their money where their mouth is for minority authors and works, then, you know, it leads to continued underpayment because they don't feel like they'll make the money back. But I think what's really important is to go in with a baseline. Me and Elizabeth, you know, kind of went into Slay in Your Lane with an idea of how much we wanted to write it for. We knew that we were never going to sort of leave our jobs unless we absolutely had to, which was a decision that we made at a later date. But also, as Elizabeth said, you know, people come to writing for different ideas, and Slaying Your Lane was very much a passion project and something that, you know, we weren't particularly interested in self-publishing because of the level of work, to be honest, that would need to go into it. But we were definitely very passionate, and, you know, obviously money was a factor, but wasn't the immediate like factor. But then obviously once we got like more interest than we expected, then obviously money became a bigger kind of element, because then, you know, we were able to kind of see basically like who we could go with that would give us the best kind of return. But for some people, some people write books purely for the financial. That's completely fine. Others write it purely for the passion. But so that will obviously affect your baseline in terms of how much or how little you're willing to write it for.
Absolutely. And I think it's definitely a case of don't quit your jobs immediately. definitely kind of, you know, take some time to really, as Yomi said, work out what you want out of your deal and essentially your kind of writing career as well. Yeah, I think that brings us to the end of that episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope it's helpful.
Join us next time where we'll be discussing how you plan your outline of your book. Till then, bye.
See you later.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.